Romans chapter 8. As we saw a couple of weeks ago in Romans and last week, we went through these struggles that Paul had last week in chapter 7, which was really interesting to me because in chapter 7, 24 times he mentions the word I. As he goes through this whole diatribe, if you will, of the things I do, I don't want to do, the things I don't want to do, I do. And he goes through all this stuff, and you can read it in chapter 7, where I, that's all he says. Now, if I do what I do not will do, is it sin any longer? I who do it, but sin that dwells in me, I find in the law, and I delight in the law, and then I see another law. And he's just struggling, you know, with the flesh, just back and forth. It reminds me of any of you who like dogs, if you get like a towel and they grab a hold of it, you know, and you pull them this way and then they pull you that way. And if they're kind of a big dog, they drag you all over the yard, you know, and then you pull them back. I have these dogs. They're so strong. It's amazing. If I would hook the both of them together, I couldn't control them. They would yank me and I'd be running behind them trying to pull the dogs so that it could stop. And that's the way our flesh is. Our flesh is like a dog that just tries to take what we have, our towel, if you will, just pulling away from us, and we're struggling with it back and forth. That's what's happening to Paul. He's just struggling back and forth. The things I do, I don't want to do. The things I don't want to do, I do. And, oh, God, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? And that's what it is. If we continue on the path of the flesh, it's death, certain death, the Bible says. But rather, we need to learn how to walk in the Spirit. And that's what we're going to see today. As Paul, finally, as he comes to an end of his struggling, exhausted, he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am," in verse 24 of chapter 7, "who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." He understands it's a battle. And it's going to be a battle for the rest of your life. We talked about that last week, you recall. Even as Moses battled with the Amalekites, a type of the flesh. And when he was in prayer, they were victorious. When his arms went down, they started to lose. And we talked about staying in prayer. So important. Your time alone with the Lord. Coming together is good in prayer. That's great too. But the battle begins right there at home. Don't ever think that you can step out of the house without preparing yourself. It's like getting into your car and not putting gas in it. You're not going to get very far. You need to prepare when you get up in the morning. The time, I'm not going to tell you how long to spend. That's between you and God. But you need to spend time with the Lord, preparing your day. Because you will need that reserve, if you will, throughout your day. He says, "I thank God." He understands that only through Jesus Christ, only by the power of the Spirit, is he able to win this battle. And therefore, it says in verse 1 of chapter 8, "There is, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." The message title is "Free from Condemnation." There's conviction that goes on in our life. And yes, we're convicted when we fall short of what God has called us to be. But the condemnation, he says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation." To who? To anyone who's in the world? Well, it says, to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ, there is no condemnation. You see, because Christ paid the price for us. There's conviction, and it rightfully so. We need to be convicted for our sins by the Spirit. And as we feel the conviction, it's a guide to bring us back to what God wants us to be. He says there's no condemnation, though, because he understands that the law was spiritual. We understand that from last week's study. And he knows that there's no possible way of fulfilling it apart from Christ. We cannot be good enough to attain heaven. We attain heaven by stepping into Christ, by becoming a Christian, by asking God into our life and starting to live our life and starting to change our life. That happens, but it's because of Christ's finished work on the cross that there's no condemnation, because we understand that he paid the price for our sin. He says, to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh. Interesting. There's four things that we have to recognize of living free from condemnation. You need to be in Jesus Christ. We saw that. You need to recognize your sin, acknowledge it, If we don't acknowledge it, remember in chapter 7, verse 24, he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me?" I need a deliverer. Lord, we need a Savior. We need a Savior. There's no other way. In Christ Jesus, recognizing your sin. How many of you just recognize your sin? Perhaps this morning as you got up to prepare for church, and I encourage you before coming to church, pray. Get your hearts ready. Get your minds in tune. Do whatever you need to do with the Lord to get right, to receive, because we're coming to glorify God, not just get fed, but to glorify Him. So that when people say, "What are you doing?" I'm here because I'm glorifying God. It's for Him. It's not just for me. What I receive is just the overflow of His glory as we go to glorify God. Recognizing our sin is a way of glorifying God. And saying, "You know what, God? I have this, and I have this. And Lord, ooh, you know, I struggle in this area. Help me, Father, for I am a sinner." The third thing, don't walk in the flesh. And the fourth thing, walk in the Spirit. These are four things we have to remember. Are you in Christ? If you are, then there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh. Recognizing your sin, pulling away from the things that cause us to sin, and walking in the Spirit. We'll cover that more fully in a little bit. In verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Remember in Romans chapter 6, verse 18, we saw that we're slaves of sin. But in Romans 6, 18, it says, "Now you have become slaves of righteousness because you're in Christ Jesus. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh," in other words, you couldn't keep the law, because you're weak in the flesh. Every one of us is. The law couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Was God in sinful flesh? No. In the likeness of sinful flesh. He was without sin. He was without spot or wrinkle. He had no sin. But yet He was trapped, if you will. He came willingly in that body of flesh, to more fully understand how we feel. And He knows how we feel whenever that temptation comes by. Whatever that temptation is that comes by, He knows what you're feeling. When the anger stirs up, when the doubt settles in, when sin is just drawing you away and the friends are luring you away, you think, "Oh God, you don't know what it's like." "Oh yes, I do." He says, "I do. I was in the likeness of this sinful flesh that you carry." Because He was in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, He condemned sin. Notice where the condemnation is. You're not condemned. Sin is condemned. "Yeah, but I got sin in my life." Well, condemn that sin. It's bad. We need to condemn it. But God doesn't condemn you. In fact, in the book of Genesis, it says that He blessed mankind. Even though they sinned and they fell short of all that He called them, spending time with them in His glory in the garden and learning His word, what happened? They sinned. They fell short. And even when they sinned and He dealt out consequences to them, there is consequences to our sin, but He said, "Cursed is the ground. Cursed is the snake." He didn't curse mankind. What did He tell mankind? He blessed them. He says, "You are blessed, be fruitful, multiply." You see, you're blessed. God's intention is never to condemn us. It's to bless us. But we need to deal with that condemning sin that is a part of us. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Over in John chapter 3, verse 6, we see a man who was struggling as well. All of us struggle with this thing called the flesh and understanding the righteousness of Christ until we come to that point of decision where we ask Him into our life. There was a man of the Pharisees in chapter 3 of John named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, he was a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher, one come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born again? I don't get this. I don't understand. And Jesus answered, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I have said to you, you must be born again. The word born again means literally regenerated. It's to start again. That's why we call it born again, a new birth. Not just the physical birth, but now there's a spiritual one as well. He says, don't marvel that you must be born again. Nicodemus, he's a man who's struggling with religion. So many Christians today struggle with religion. It's amazing. As I speak to people out on the job and they have a knowledge of the Lord, some of them even accepted the Lord, and they struggle with religion in their Christianity. They get very religious in doing the things out of habit rather than out of a love for Christ. You just have a heart to worship God. However you worship, whatever it is, you just know that you want to worship God. The whole point of being there at that time is to give glory to God through your worship. And it's so easy, isn't it, for us to lose that and become religious. And I see it and I do it sometimes in my life. We think of reading the Bible. We have a set time to read the Bible from 8 to 8:30, let's say. And we never fall off that track. And if anybody says, oh, you can't fall off that track. You can't do that. It isn't right. Well, no, it's a relationship with you. That's like putting my wife in a spot saying, you know what, babe, from 8 to 8:30, we're going to have time together and that's it. Nothing else. Well, you know how it is. Life's going to get in the way. You're just going to land up getting in a fight. So you set a time, but you're flexible. I love the way, I believe it was Chuck Smith who said, Blessed are the flexible, for they will not easily be broken. And I love that quote. Because we get so religious, so rigid in our worship of God, in our study of God, in our prayer of God. And you know what? Me and my wife, we meet from 8 to 8:30 sometimes. Sometimes it's in the evening, sometimes it's in the morning, sometimes it's late at night just talking. There's all these different times. That's a relationship. Where it's not important that you're there from 8 to 8:30, it's important that you're there. He wants to hear from you. He wants to speak with you. Be flexible. Spend your time with God, whenever it is. I remember I was pretty rigid. I'd get up at a certain time, and I'd from here to here. Sometimes I'm broken and beaten. Sometimes I'm just on fire and happy, you know, and just meet with Him. Spend time with Him. Nicodemus, he was so caught up in his religion, he didn't understand what Jesus was trying to say to him, how it would be to live life free as we know it in Christ. But we do know that he understood at some point. Because in John chapter 19, verse 39, as they were preparing the body of Christ, he was there. He was there with aloe and myrrh to anoint the body. I think he finally got it. And that's a good illustration for the Jews as well as us, because Nicodemus is Nike. Nike, it means victorious. It's victory in the means of success or victorious among his people. I never knew that about Nicodemus. I didn't know that his name meant so much, as so many Jewish names mean. And coming from the Pharisees, we see that he was victorious in Christ. He was victorious among his people. He had success because he had Jesus. And we've talked about that. Success in Christ. Back to Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Speaking of the flesh, now we know that we need to be in Christ. We saw that we need to be in Christ. We need to recognize our sin. We need to not walk in the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. If you're born again like Nicodemus, then we have taken that first step. If you've recognized your sin and acknowledge it before God, then you've taken that second step. The third step is the hard one. Don't walk in the flesh. How many of you can say right now, when I get out of here, I am not going to walk in the flesh. I'm not going to have any bad thoughts. I'm not going to say any bad words. I'm not going to do anything bad. I'm just not going to do it. And then you'll come back and say, you know what? I lied. I didn't get past the front door and I did something. The flesh. Don't walk in the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How many of you have peace in your life right now? It amazes me that when you spend time with the Lord, the roof can be falling through, the walls can be cracked, they can be falling apart, and there's a peace in your life. People think you're nuts. How's it going? Oh, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening. Now, how are you doing, brother? I'm doing great. What do you mean you're doing great? Don't you know I'm here to console you? I got a shoulder for you. No, I'm doing fine. But you just said all this stuff. I know, but I'm doing fine. The peace of Christ, as it just rests on you. I love walking in the peace of Christ. I hate walking in the flesh because then I lose the peace. I start thinking of my problems, or I start getting religious, or I start getting all this other stuff, and I start losing the peace. Then I'm like, what are you doing? Oh, okay, the peace of Christ. Start walking in the Spirit. The worship, when you're having a bad time, you know, start singing songs. Whether in your mind, like me, if I sing out loud, people take off running. But, you know, just you start singing, you know, and all of a sudden the peace of God comes upon you again. And the cares of the day just kind of, God works them out. They're always there anyway. So to be carnally minded is death. Worry, anger, spite, all these things that affect us. But spiritually minded is life. There's peace in it. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Get a hold of that. When we're carnally minded, when we're walking in our flesh, that's enmity or hatred against God. That freaks me out. Because when I'm walking in the flesh, I'm hating you, Lord. That's the part of me that disgusts me, that I hate. I'm hating on you. And I don't want to hate on you. Forgive me when I get carnally minded, walking in the flesh. It's enmity against you. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. In other words, it's not coming under submission of Christ. We start doing our sin or walking carnally, and you're pulling away from the Lord. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, that word dwells in you or dwells means makes a home in you. You see, when you ask Jesus into your heart, He set up shop. He moved in. And as you know, there's many rooms in that house that we call our heart. And we let Him into that one part that needs salvation, but there's rooms in there that He needs to clean out that we don't let Him. He's in our heart. He's in our home, okay, but I don't want you to see that room, Lord. And we close the door. Well, God, you have no business in there. Let me shut that. How dare you try and take that from me? Let me close that door. You see, He wants to go in through the whole house, not just that one room that needs salvation, not just the foyer. He wants to go into every room of your house and clean it up. It's amazing, as I came to the Lord and I've shared with you guys, the first room He cleaned out was a big room. Back up the trucks. There was a bunch of junk in there. And then as He cleaned that, there was other areas that I didn't even realize needed to be cleaned. And He opened that door. I said, okay, God, clean it out. Well, what about this, Pete? Lord, maybe in a year or two, you know. Not right now. No, I want to clean it now. Okay, God, clean that one out. He wants to clean every room in your house. It means to dwell or make a home in you. And then you take it a step further and you say, God, I'm saved and I know it, but I want more of you. I want to be better. God, how do I do this? Say, Jesus, please, baptize me in the Holy Spirit right now. Those of you who want to be baptized, open that door. Say, Jesus, baptize me. Make your home in my heart. And fill me with the Comforter that you sent. Father, baptize me in Jesus and in the Holy Spirit, that I may be able to be stronger in my walk in the Spirit and not so weak in my walk in the flesh. Fill me to overflowing with your Son and your Spirit, in Jesus' name. And as you do that, the Holy Spirit takes over you and starts to convict you, not condemn you. Conviction is something to steer us away from the bad things and to stay close to the good things. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Jesus is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. In other words, we know you struggle. We reckon that body dead, like we read a couple, 3 weeks ago. But there's life in you. It's righteousness. It's where the peace comes from in your life. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So important to have Jesus, to have the Holy Spirit in you. We need Him. Otherwise, we're in enmity. We're hating or haters of God, living a flesh-filled life. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, speaking of the flesh and speaking, of course, of the Spirit, he gives us so much direction here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. He says, "For you, brethren," speaking to believers, those of us who are here today, "for you, brethren, have been called to liberty." Liberty in Christ. You're free in Christ. "Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh." Don't think, as Paul said a few weeks ago in Romans, that if grace abounds, should sin abound more? Certainly not. "Don't use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." As we serve those around us, whether it be the homeless, here at church serving one another, we're honoring God. Serve one another. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." You see, if you love your neighbor, you won't steal from him. If you're loving your neighbor, you won't covet his wife or her husband. You won't covet the things that they have. If you're loving your neighbor, you'll do good to them. And by neighbors, I'm not talking about, well, I live on 2818, I'll just go help 2819. Not just that. I mean, those around you, those who God has placed in your life, if you will, those who God has placed specifically in your life, the unbelievers and the believers. Serve them. Love them. The unbelievers, don't become part of them, but love them. Speak the truth to them in love, not in hatred or anything like that. "For the law will be fulfilled. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." If we had that mindset, we're always thinking of others rather than just ourselves. Imagine what the world would be like. Can you imagine as we're caring for one another, protecting one another, protecting their things, protecting their kids, even if they're not yours, keep an eye on them. Do that everywhere you go. Start to change the world one kid at a time. Caring for one another, loving our neighbors. But, in verse 15, "if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed." In other words, if you start to attack one another, what are you doing? You're in the flesh. "Well, they bit me first. I'm going to bite them back." We're starting to get in the flesh. We're starting to pull away from God's plan for us. We're starting to get under conviction, condemnation almost, if you will, because you're haters of God. You're pulling away from God when He told you, don't do that. Love one another. "No, I'm just going to bite them back. They bit me first. I'm going to bite them back." And then you start fighting amongst yourselves. "If you bite and devour one another, beware, because you will be consumed by one another." Consumed. It reminds me of a fire. When you throw something in the fire, the very log that you put in the fire to stoke the fire is consumed and it's gone. That's what it reminds me of. You'll be a log in the fire and you'll be gone before you know it. What then? I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Notice if we're walking in the Spirit, singing spiritual songs, as the proverb tells us, walking in love one to another, not biting or devouring one another, serving one another. Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Or the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. And if there's any doubt in your mind, if whether or not you're walking in the flesh, certain things that pop up in your mind right now, and, well, I'm not sure if that's flesh or not, Lord, you know, it's kind of gray. Here we go. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. These are all sexual sins. Idolatry, sorcery, where we get the word pharmakeia, which is drugs. In case you're not sure if drugs is a work of the flesh or not, there it is, sorcery. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. These are some of the religious sins. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I told you beforehand, just as I told you in the past, that those who practice, and that's key, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Not that you fell into one of these sins and you repented and got right. Okay, I understand that, he says. But if you practice this, if anything mentioned there is a continual practice in your life, you continually go down that road, be careful, he says. These will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those seem to be the big sins. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Notice, if you said that prayer earlier, and you've asked the Holy Spirit to baptize you, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, a new creation, but also filled with the Spirit, there will be fruit in your life. It might happen immediately. It might take a few days. Maybe it just depends how you respond. But there will be fruit in your life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meaning patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. If these things, they're all modifiers of love. Remember he said, the greatest of all is love your neighbor. These are all modifiers of love. If you love your neighbor that way, or those around you, and you serve one another, these are just things that will come out, fruit. I always use my wife and I as an example, because that's the closest relationship apart from Christ that I have. And I see where, as we get closer to the Lord, it seems, as her walk grows and my walk grows, and we just naturally get closer to each other. And it amazes me. It's not like we've done a certain program and that'll change me and make me a godly man and make her a godly woman. And no, it's just this natural order of things as we get closer to the Lord that we get closer to each other. It's not a program. It wasn't a study that we did. And, you know, it was just our walks got closer to the Lord. And as that happens, I saw joy and peace, patience working in both her and me. Sometimes we mess up. Oh, okay, but we don't practice such things. We messed up. And then, you know, the joy, the peace, the kindness, the gentleness, whereas I was a bit harder than she was. She was hard too, you know. We were all hard. We came from, you know, the world. And that got softer. Faithfulness, that worked into our marriage as well. Gentleness, you know, kindness, self-control. All these modifiers just started happening. Not because she was good or because I was good, but because we got closer to God. Guys, I encourage you, get closer to God. I'm not saying you're far away. I'm just saying wherever you're at, there's always room to get closer. Wherever you're at. and see these things start to happen in your life. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desire. And as you get closer and closer to the Lord, these things that we just mentioned, the drugs, the drinking, the adultery, all this stuff, envies, murders, all this stuff, gossip, all this stuff that's in there start to peel off. It's our flesh dying more and more as we walk closer to the Lord. We'll crucify the flesh with its passions and desire. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Oh, and by the way, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Don't condemn. God hasn't condemned you. Don't condemn people because they're going through a hard time and you think, well, it's their own fault, I can't believe it, you know. Love one another. Serve one another. Be there for each other in any way you can. Let gentleness and patience come forth. Self-control. Maybe you have a problem with your mouth and it says things. Self-control. If any man is overtaken by any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore that one in a spirit of gentleness. Why? Considering yourself, lest you also fall into that same sin, basically, be tempted. So just bear one another's burdens, he says, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And that's where we end. Free from condemnation, be in Christ, recognize or acknowledge your sin, don't walk in the flesh. When you see the flesh coming up, cut it quick, walk in the Spirit. Pray for me. Because you know when you teach on something, usually you get attacked in all these areas. So, flesh coming up. God bless you guys. Have a blessed week.